Good morning. Noah, I'm from Los Angeles. Welcome. Okay, so it's Sunday. So Sunday, we'd like to talk a little bit about some Midrashim. So let's start with a story first, and we'll go back to Midrash. A story in the Midrash. Okay? Yaakov is very frightened. He's facing the great unknown. It's all dark outside. He has this dream, and he tells Hashem, and pay attention, because we'll talk about this Pasuk Wednesday night in the famous lighthouse. So this is the famous year-round Sichat Musar called the lighthouse. Details later in the week. He says, Hashem, if you give me lechem lechol uvegad lulbosh, if you give me some bread and some clothing, then I'll come back here. This is Beit El, and I'll give you aser asren lech. I'll give you a tenth of all everything that I profit from. Okay, so he asks Hashem for bread and for clothing. Now, one of the most famous gerim in the history of Am Yisrael was Unkelos, what's called Achilas. He was a Roman. He became a ger, and he didn't write Targum Unkelos, because we have a Masorah that Targum Unkelos was delivered to Harsinai, but he restored it, the Gemara says in Megillah. People have forgotten it. So one day, Achilas Hager walks into Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua were the two Rebbeim of Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Eliezer was a little bit hard-nosed. He was a little bit of an absolutist. Rabbi Yeshua was a little bit more flexible, a little bit like Bashamai Beisela. In fact, Rabbi Eliezer learned by Beis Shammai. Very often the Gemara will say that Rabbi Eliezer, we don't pass like him because he's a Shamuti. It's not clear what Shamuti is. Shamuti either means he's put in Cherem, or the famous story of that oven that he opposed all Chazal, and he said, if I'm right, let the heavens, let the water flow backwards, let the trees be uprooted. He was put into Cherem his whole life, because until he died, right before he died, because of that action, or because he was a talented Beis Shammai. But either way, this is a person who was an absolutist. Rabbi Yeshua. So these are Rabbi Akiva's two Rebbeim. It's important to have different Rebbeim in life, not just different forms of learning, but different personality traits. Rabbi Eliezer was what we call a purist, idealist, Rabbi Yeshua, as you'll see. So this Ger comes in and says, there's a pasuk in Parshas Re'eh that talks about, Parshas Akiv, I'm sorry, that Hashem loves Gerim. And I'm a Ger. How much does Hashem love Gerim? Oev es a Ger, you should love the Ger, because Hashem loves Gerim. To give him bread and clothing. That's what a ger gets, bread and clothing? Akila said, it's ridiculous. I became a ger, look at all this sacrifice, look at all this idealism. That's what Hashem wants Jewish people to give a ger, a little piece of bread and some clothing on his back? So Eliezer looked at him with furrowed eyebrows, he said, what, and bread and clothing is so cheap to you? Think of Yaakov. That's all Yaakov got. Why do you ask for more? This is everything Yaakov prayed for, and Hashem is giving you that same Yaakov experience. What do you think is such a big issue? That's such a big drama. Because Yaakov said, if you give me lechem lecho uveged lulbosh. So if in Parshas Vayetze, Yaakov asks for lechem lecho uveged lulbosh, then in Parshas Akiv, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu asked you to give that to a ger, that should be enough for you. That's not what the ger wanted to hear. So he walked through Rabbi Yeshua. It sounds a lot like the Beis Shammai Beis Hillel story, where the ger walked into Beis Shammai and said, "Tishmi kol haTorah kula regalachas," and Beis Shammai said, "What are you crazy?" And Beis Hillel found some way to finesse the story. So this Akilas Hager went to Rabbi Yeshua, and he asked Rabbi Yeshua that same question, and Rabbi Yeshua said, "Nah, you're reading the pasuk and Akiv the wrong way. When the pasuk and Akiv says give Jewish people or give a ger lechem v'simla." Lechem means Talmud Torah, Simla means Big Day Kahuna, Lechem means Lechem upon him, even though you're a ger, you can't be a Kohen, your children can marry Kohenim, and look at the Lechem upon him, and look at the Big Day Kahuna, and look at Reishis HaGez, you're headed for glory, don't worry. Don't worry, you're going to be something great, we're going to embrace you, there are great things in your future as a Jew, as there actually were, right? By the way, just out of interest, there are about 10 boys here from Chorev High School. Trying out yeshiva for work. They all speak English. So go over to them and say hello. Probably know some of them. Jerusalem, some of the kids. Yes. Right. So just go over and introduce yourself. I sat with them over Shabbos and they all speak English. I mean, they're all Hebrew. Anyway, so getting back. So Rabbi Yeshua, so obviously the main part of the story is, as the Medrash says in the end, had Rabbi Yeshua not been so generous and so tolerant and so creative, then who knows if Achilas would have walked out the door, walked out of Judaism, rejoined the Romans, and you could rip out Unkelos from your chumash, because it wouldn't have existed. You wouldn't be chayiv in shtayim mikra v'chatar from the easier. There's no Unkelos. Maybe we should. If not for Rabbi Yeshua's, okay. So the main theme of this story in the Medrash is learn how to be someone that's generous. Okay, when I say they were generous, you probably think generosity is money or food. Generosity is also time. Do you give of your time? That's at the core of friendship. Do you give of your time to other people? Do you listen to people when they have a story that they need to tell, or they just need to vent? There's also something called generosity of spirit. Just like when you give your money or you give your time, you give your spirit, which means people having a hard day, you let them vent. One day you'll be a father, you'll be a husband. As part of being a father is letting people just, you know, get everything off their chest, get all their anger, all their frustration. So here would be Yeshua. Obviously, he wanted to answer like Reb Elazar answered, that lechem v'simla means bread and simla. And he should have told this ger, stop complaining, stop arguing. He had enough generosity of spirit to know this ger needs to hear something else. Sometimes people need to hear something from you. It's not a lie, but it's not exactly the truth there, because that's not what the pasuk means in Akif. But what's interesting to me more is, what did Reb Elazar tell him? Reb Elazar didn't like scream at him. He told him, if Yaakov had enough with that, you should have enough with that also. Why do you feel you're better than Yaakov? Now, obviously, there's an identification factor between a ger and Yaakov, because each of them are in a foreign situation. And Yaakov in Parshas Vayishlech will tell Esav, im lavan garti. So he sees himself as a ger. He sees himself as an itinerant. And he lives 20 plus years in someone else's house. But sometimes I feel that this is a good post-Black Friday message. Listen carefully, boys from Los Angeles. Sometimes where we want more in life, and we have our consumerist desires that just get ahead of us and spiral out of control, it's important to think about other people who live with less. And that could be a balancer for you. That could restore some of the sanity and some of the balance. Sometimes if we just stick within our own framework, I need more, I need more, I need more, I need this, I need this, then we look at other people, particularly if they're people you identify with, like Yaakov, and you don't just identify with Yaakov because he's one of our avos, but you identify because he was in the same situation as you are. You're a ger, he's a ger. He's struggling, you're struggling. Sometimes you tell yourself, well, if it was enough for those people, Zach, you'd be quiet. Well, if it was enough for those people, then it should be enough for me. So sometimes what Reb Elazar was telling him, again, it's not what the ger needed to hear, but what Reb Elazar was telling him is, think about Yaakov, think about ultimately the way to settle our desires is not to think about how little we need, but what's important in life, that's our relationship with the Kodesh Baruch. What didn't bother Yaakov is, I'm not interested in your bread and your clothing, Hashem. What I'm interested in is that you should supervise me. The bread and the clothing is just a symbol, well, it's just a signal that you're there for me, that I feel your presence. Like everything else in life, it signals our presence, right? Sometimes we give things to people because they need it. Sometimes we give things to people just to let them know we're there. Just let them know that I'm there, I care about you, you're part of my life. So this was Reb Elazar's way of telling Akilas, who evidently, based maybe on his Roman roots, had some very big aspirations about what he could accomplish in life materialistically. And Reb Elazar was telling him, think about other people, think about Yaakov Avinu, who's not just one of the Avos, which is an interesting, he's pointing out Yaakov Avinu, not just because of the overlap in words, but because Yaakov is the Av that this ger can most identify with. It's hard for you to be a ger and identify with people who aren't your genetic ancestors. Like Avram and Yitzchak were all our genetic ancestors. If you're a ger, you don't have the genes. So you have to go to the theme of your life and the lifestyle that was similar. So Yaakov was the person that this ger could identify with Avram because somehow he's in my blood. I identify with Yitzchak because there's a part of my blood that comes from his genes in Yaakov. Ger doesn't have the blood, doesn't have the genes. So you have to go back to the lifestyle, think about Yaakov, think about people who may do with less, and think about what's important in life. So it's an important story, not just because of the end of the story, because if Yeshua is the hero, and he embraces him, and he has generosity of spirit. Reb Elazar, he's the villain. He's the mean, furrowed eyebrow person who almost pushes Achilles back into Roman culture. But to listen to what Reb Elazar's response was, even though it may not have been the right response at that moment, not what the ger needed to hear the logic in Reb Elazar's response. One other interesting medrash. Yaakov says, Ushmarani b'derech hazeh Hashem yoleh. Hashem, you'll protect me on my derech. So what is this special word derech that Yaakov wants protection from? Ushmarani. Of course he's on the road. What is this extra word, Ushmarani b'derech hazeh Hashem yoleh? So the medrash has four options. Three make sense. One is a little interesting. He's asking for the big three. I may kill someone, obviously, protect me from murder. I may be violating a Siri Arayos, right? We'll see Yosef in Mirtha Shevin Parshas Vayeshev. The temptation of Yosef is not just sexual. The temptation of Yosef is psychological. Because when you're alone, and no one accredits you, and no one acknowledges you, all of a sudden a pretty girl comes around, she thinks you're incredible, and she massages your ego. So when you're vulnerable, there's a particular fragility towards Gilo Arayos. Avodah Zarah, because he's entering a foreign culture where they all worship Avodah Zarah. So these three make sense. But the Medrash says, Yaakov also says, I want you to protect me from Lashon Hara. Baderech. And the Medrash quotes Psukim that associate the word Derech with Lashon Hara. Why in the world is Yaakov afraid of Lashon Hara? Gilar Arayos, Shvichas Damim, maybe Gzela, he has no money, maybe Murat. Like, why is he so afraid of Lashon Hara? Where in the world does this come from? This is the special concern that Yaakov harbors. I'll be traveling. So the answer is as follows. Yaakov's in a lot of pain. And Yaakov feels, what does that? Yaakov feels a lot of fear. And sometimes you retaliate. And to your fear, through hate. Hate is the way we cover our pain. Hate is the way we cover our fear. And hate can sometimes lead to defamation and disparagement, especially of Esav. It will be very easy for Yaakov to go to Laban and vent about Esav and tell terrible stories about Esav, even if they're true, or to vent about Yitzchak, who didn't necessarily see him as he should. We never really know whether Yaakov receives. We never had that scene where Yitzchak finally calls Yaakov in and says, by the way, you were right, I was wrong, I owe you one. You saw in the light. He gives him the brachas, but there's not that moment. So Yaakov's carrying a lot of doubt and uncertainty, and doubt and uncertainty and unresolved daddy issues cause a lot of pain as you're far away. And it leads, the best way we cover our pain is with hating other people. And that's why, unfortunately, when you remove the hate, there's a lot of pain. You have to learn how to remove the hate as soon as possible to deal with the pain. Hate is like it's a drug, and it covers our pain. And when you hate, you start trying to retaliate and to defame the subjects of your hatred. And as everything else, it can become contagious. So it's not just that Yaakov will start to tell Lashon Hara about Esav, his father, or his sister-in-law's, Esav's terrible wives, but we'll start to tell Lashon Hara about people local. Because once you get into that spell where you defame people and you tell gossip and you tell negative things about people, then you fall into that state of mind. A member of Liechtenstein, it's not just that he didn't like Lashon Hara. Whenever the conversation turned to people, not about Lashon Hara. You could see he was getting queasy. He didn't like talking about people. Small minds talk about events. Average minds talk about people. Large minds talk about, actually the opposite. Small minds talk about people. Average minds talk about events. Large minds talk about ideas. So try to think about ideas as often as you can. So Yaakov realizes he's vulnerable. He realizes there's a lot of pain and fear. The best way to cover pain and fear is hate of the other. That's why nationalism and bigotry sometimes are so powerful tools to deal with fear and uncertainty, because you scapegoat some other and you cover that fear with hatred of the other. And Yaakov is afraid that in this compromised state, he may tell Lashon Hara, which is a fascinating psychoanalysis of Yaakov's moment, basically going through the Medrash. So two interesting midrashim. One is Ger, Achilas, walking into Rabbi Eliezer, being told, hey, just think about Yaakov. That's all he asked for. He wanted bread and clothing. That should be enough for you. Rabbi Yeshua was more magnanimous. He was saying, you know what? This is Lechem means Lechem Apanim, Lechem means Torah, Simla means Big Dekuna, and he saved that gear. And sometimes you never... no, don't worry. Normally I speak much more briefly, but you can't imagine how many people I've met that are part of the story. How many people I've met, adults, who are disenfranchised from religion, who are no longer religious, who hate religion, and when I ask them, what did it for you? I met that one rabbi one time in my life who just didn't wear religion the right way and spoke to me or my wife in the wrong way with Mechala Shem Shemayim. It's not fair, because you shouldn't judge Judaism by Jews, but people do. And Mirat Hashem, one day, you may not be rabbis, but you have to be representatives to wear Yiddishkeit the right way. So when people meet you, they walk away inspired and uplifted about religion, right? Not Chas v'shalom, burned or scorned or spurned by religion. You can't imagine how many people lose their religion because of that one encounter that we're reading about in this story. And Baruch Hashem, Rabbi Yeshua was able to equalize and balance it out. But it's interesting to think about what was the Havamina. And Yeshiva, you always think about what the Havamina was. What did Blazer think about? What was the Svara Blazer was saying? Think about Yaakov and learn to rein in your runaway aspirations and runaway desires and runaway ambitions to have more. The second story is Yaakov was particularly concerned about Lashon Hara because he's carrying a lot of pain and fear. The best way to cover pain and fear is to cover it with hate, and hate will lead to defamation and Lashon Hara. Okay. Have a great visit, Noam. Shir is at 10:45 till 11:45, and then Rav K is going to give you Shir 12 to 1. And in between 11:45 and 12, there may be some delicious food. I don't know, but there may be some good food. So I would save a little room for that, okay? Yeah.